It's almost Halloween. Hey, coach, what's your favorite scary movie?
Showgirls.
Absolutely frightening.
Yeah, there you go.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, you Caps fans out there. This is What the Puck, a Washington Capitals podcast. How's it going out there? Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and now TuneIn Radio. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was going to like use a Halloween name for you this week instead of Coach Dan, but I thought like Dan Kruger or, you know, Dan Myers didn't really have a good ring to it.
Just sounds like someone's name. I mean, it's not my last name, but that just kind of sounds boring.
Yeah, it just sounds like, you know, you're like an oral surgeon. You're like
Dan Myers. Oral surgeon, open heart surgeon.
All right, give yourself a little bit of a pay grade. That's good.
That's how you get the women.
All right, well, let's talk about the Caps, man. Let's dive right into it here. Three games last we talked. The Capitals finished up their Western Canadian road trip. They got a win in Calgary. They have a loss in Vancouver, and then they come back home for Wednesday night rivalry night up against Detroit, which I gotta say. Detroit versus Washington, one of the best games I have seen the Capitals play in a very, very long time. Even though they did come out with a loss, there's definitely still some work to be done. But this team, watching them up against Detroit, reminded me of like the 2010 playoff team that had so many hopes behind them and, you know, took the Penguins to Game 7. I felt as if they really were starting to show that they could be a full-on contender this year and not just like a flash in the pan.
I mean, it was a very exciting game to watch. I mean, it sucks that they lost, but that game was just so much fun. And they kept saying in the broadcast that it felt like a playoff game, and it kind of did.
It did, absolutely.
I mean, not to the extent that you're like sitting there going, oh my God, they have to win this game, or they're down one, or this is their chance to clinch or whatever, end the series. But it was definitely a lot of fun. I mean, defensively, they had a couple of miscues, and because it's Detroit, they were able to score on all those chances that the Caps screwed up on. So they got to start shutting some of those miscues down, making the mistakes. Offensively, you know, they're not doing great. They're doing okay offensively, but they're not getting enough out of the past couple of games. They should have been able to get a win in Edmonton last week, and they weren't able to do that. They got a win in Calgary. They probably could have gotten a win in Vancouver. I mean, you're playing against some good goalies in Ryan Miller and Jimmy Howard, but they played well enough in terms of getting themselves in position to score. They just weren't doing it. And, you know, I got to start seeing some more from a couple of guys offensively, and it's why Trotz keeps moving these guys around different lines, because they're not bringing enough to the team offensively.
Yeah, we definitely saw some line changes this past week, but like you said,
a bunch of line changes,
a whole lot. Yeah, Ryan Miller, Jimmy.
Has anyone not played on a line with anyone else?
We've seen some good stuff. We've seen some bad stuff, but like you said, I want to chalk up the loss in Vancouver just to some fatigue. They did play in Calgary the night before. You know, they're off. It's weird for them to be in a different time zone to be playing at certain times. So I'm going to chalk that one up to the fact that they were just tired and it was the end of the Western Canadian trip. But this Detroit team and Washington, that game was a lot of fun to watch. I felt as if we're kind of missing out, because I think Detroit versus Washington at the Winter Classic this year, these two teams would have been great to see outside. But of course, you know, Detroit just to get the Winter Classic last year. But like you said, Ryan Miller, Jimmy Howard, both guys were in Sochi representing the U.S., so they're great goalies. But yeah, let's talk about these line changes real quick. I mean, everybody was playing with everybody. We saw Joel Ward move up to Ovechkin, Burakovsky moving up as well. Just for a split second, I don't know if you saw this. I texted you and you were on delay, but Kuznetsov and Burakovsky played on the same line for at least a little bit of last night's game. I think if you get Tom Wilson out there and you make sure that he's healthy enough and can play to the same level with these guys, a Kuznetsov, Burakovsky, Wilson line would be wreaking havoc.
Joe Beninati was on 106.7 The Fan, which, and Chad Dukes' show, and they were talking about Tom Wilson. And they were saying that, you know, this is Wilson's real – I mean, he had a couple of games in Hershey, but this is sort of like his preseason, these next couple of games. He's not up to speed yet. And so for – you know, if he's going to be on a higher line, he needs a couple of games and get himself back in, back up to speed. You know, everything's going to be moving really quick to him right now. Once things start to slow down for him and he starts to get, you know, his mind right in terms of the games and getting his conditioning up. They said when he was in Hershey that he looked great in, like, the first period. And then second period, you know, he's a little slower. In third period, you can see that he was just tired. And this is how it goes. That's why teams have preseasons. So you can build yourself up back to that constant level of energy. He needs to get back to where he was before in doing that. And so once he gets back to that, I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the second or first line getting an opportunity. Because it's Trotz. I mean, apparently he initially saw him playing on a line with Ovechkin and Backstrom.
Yeah, I mean, he's a I like Wilson a lot. He's a big dude. He's got a lot of skills behind him. But yeah, he's got to get to where this team is right now. Barry Trotz.
It can't be hard to it can't be hard to score on a line with Ovechkin and Backstrom. Just put your big butt in front of the goal and knock in the rebounds. As long as Ovechkin's not headhunting in terms of his shots, not with his elbows. Calm down, Penguins fans. But as long as he's, you know, Ovechkin's taking shots and they're putting them on net and the goalie's giving up rebounds. That's how Mike Knuble did it in D.C. Wilson can do the exact same thing. I don't see any reason why Wilson can't do what Knuble can do. He's just got to get himself up to speed.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of speed, though, Burakovsky, man, he is just fitting in perfectly with the NHL. God, this guy has got some wheels on him. Just watching him last night, I mean, he blew me away about how fast this kid can be.
Yeah, Burakovsky's doing great. He's doing great for my fantasy team. But no, I mean, the kid's got a lot of talent. He's doing great. He hasn't seemed, you know, shell-shocked or in over his head at any point. He hasn't been in one of those games where he's like, oh, God, I'm playing in the NHL and sort of looked like a rookie. He has his moments where he makes his rookie mistakes, and you're definitely going to see that. He had a couple of times last night where he looked like he probably should have done a little better in player. And, you know, I think at one point, I can't remember who said it on Twitter, but somebody was definitely not thrilled with something that Burakovsky had done on the ice. He turned over a puck or made the wrong pass or something like that. But the kid is doing great. He's doing, for all the things he's doing poorly, and there are few and far between, he's doing so many more things great for this team. And I think he's, you know, we kept in the offseason was the big concern is we don't have a second line center. It could be this kid. He could be the guy. He could be the one we've been looking for. You know, he's been mentored by Johansson, but more so by Backstrom and having that Swedish connection. You know, I think this is definitely a kid that was a great pickup in terms of the draft and the fact that he's 19 years old and playing in the NHL and playing well. You know, as long as he can keep it up through a full season, there's going to be some point he's probably going to regress a little bit. He may go through a week or two where he's going to slump and maybe not put as many points up. But as long as they stick by him and put players around him that can score, and for the love of God, Troy Brouwer, he scored the other night, and that was awesome. But how do you miss an empty net goal? Did you see, was it the Calgary game where he missed the empty net? There was no one in front of you. There was no goalie. How do you miss? That killed me. But now, I mean, if guys around him can start putting the puck in the net, then he's going to be doing great for this team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do want to bring this up, not about Burakovsky, but about that first Detroit goal last night. It was a turnover by Marcus Johansson. He made a really terrible mistake. I mean, the puck just kind of went over his stick. He lost control of it. The defense had already left, and then it was just Detroit up against Holpe, and Holpe buckled coming in.
He almost saved it, too.
He did come close. It was the Detroit player got his own rebound up against Holpe. But that first goal, I mean, that's what made it feel like a playoff game, because it was scoreless throughout the half of the game. And then that one mistake, that one trip up, cost us going on the board first. So mistakes like that, I mean, you got to get in your head like, yeah, we're still early on in the season. But if this was a playoff game, that could have been the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make those mistakes when you come to the playoffs. But it's still relatively early in the season. They're, what, 4-3-2 right now? So yeah. They're definitely not, you know, they're not hurting at the moment necessarily. And they're, you know, they've got time to fix these mistakes that they're making. But that first goal for Nyquist, I mean, that was like a layup almost. I mean, he made a nice move to beat Holpe. There's no question there. But the fact that you gave him that opportunity was a mistake and that shouldn't have happened. But the defense has time. But the thing is, this team is just so much better than they were last season in terms of just everything. You know, the goaltending is solid. The defense is a million times better. And the offense is going to start coming around. They're still, you know, not getting as many goals as you would like. They've scored what? They lost both of those games in Vancouver and in Detroit 4-2. So they're not scoring a ton. They got three against Calgary, who has played rather well. I mean, they're 5-4-2 right now. So they're not the Calgary of last season. But they're not getting enough offense for my liking right now. And Ovechkin's on a five-game scoring slump. He's got no points.
No points.
In five games. That's the longest, I think, of this in his career. And that's what everyone's talking about. And you know what? He's going to get points. They're going to come around again. It's not the end of the world that he's struggling to get points right now. So everyone just calm down. You know, it's going to happen again. I think the, you know, put him back with Backstrom. I think the fact that they were not on the same line was a temporary thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to be back together sooner rather than later. And, you know, as long as they can play well and give them someone on the right side that can, you know, help them out and put the puck in the back of the net, this team's offense should get going. But we got to see more offensively from Brouwer. I want to see, in terms of scoring goals, more from Johansson. And we got to see more from guys like Chimera and Ward. I mean, the third line, that's why Chimera and Ward got split up, because they weren't doing enough offense. They're doing great defensively, but offensively they were just not doing enough.
Speaking of Chimera, what a nasty looking face he had.
He got jacked up.
Yeah, he did. I mean, that was a terrible break there. I mean, his nose, somebody posted on the Reddit, the Cap subreddit, that his nose started with the C and could spell out capitals using his nose. Not pretty, but also a typical hockey player. Didn't really miss that much of the game to fix it. Yeah, that was crazy up against Detroit, seeing his face look like that. That was tough to see. That was like a couple games ago when he checked a guy into one of the elbow pads of the ref, and the guy's lip was pretty much off of his face. So yeah, pretty nasty stuff we've seen so far in these games. But talking about splitting up people, the big thing with Trotz was he wanted to keep pairs together. So that obviously this week went out the window, and he kind of split up everybody and kind of moved everybody around to see what would work. Some guys got moved out completely. Look at a guy like Eric Fair, who was on the top line starting the season, and there was a decision to make: do we put in Tom Wilson or Eric Fair? And Tom Wilson got the jersey last night. So we should talk about Eric Fair and where he's at right now. Barry Trotz came out and said Eric Fair isn't shooting the puck enough, that he's holding on to it, and that he's watching the game instead of actually being a part of it. So for a guy who was with the Capitals, left, went to Winnipeg, came back, and then started on the first line, that's a huge fall from grace for him, because that was the same thing we had with Adam Oates. Why weren't you playing this guy? This guy deserves it. But then a new coach comes in, and he pretty much has the same mentality about Eric Fair.
I mean, I think, you know, if you're not producing and Trotz has guys available that he thinks will produce, he's going to put you out. And I think that's a great thing for this team. They're not coddling anybody. Not that I mean, no offense to Fair, but he's not the kind of player that you would necessarily want to coddle at one point. But they're not coddling anybody. If you're not producing, you're not playing. You know, if Trotz feels like you're not doing enough, you're going to be sitting on the bench or sitting up in the press box. And I love to have that for the team. And the whole thing that people talk about is that the whether it's Ovechkin or anyway, that they're uncoachable, that they're not doing playing the game the right way. And if they're not playing the game the way that Trotz wants them to be playing, then you're not going to play. And I think that's a great thing for this team. With Fair, I mean, he was on a line. He's had his opportunities, and he just isn't scoring goals. And if you're not going to be doing that with a guy who's going to be put in an opportunity to score goals on a line with Ovechkin and Backstrom, then, you know, you're going to be sitting up in the press box.
Yeah, so hopefully this will get through to Eric Fair, and he can come back, because we've seen what he can do. He is a great player. He really is, and we'll see what happens down the line. Now with Tom Wilson back in the lineup, coming up from Hershey, Brooks like still out. We'll see when he comes back. Let's talk about who got sent down. Chris Brown went down to Hershey, and Liam O'Brien, who was the big star of training camp, came out of nowhere, still a part of this team. He's done great things on the ice, but I'm at least starting off the season, I thought Chris Brown would be here instead of Liam O'Brien. He's kind of been, besides Burakovsky, one of the big surprises so far this season.
You know, it's been an interesting season so far. Yeah. I'm trying to think of how to put this correctly, but it's like there's optimism that wasn't necessarily around last season. And I think a lot of that goes to the fact that this coaching staff has been there before. In the past, it's been head coaches who, just like, you know, rookie head coaches are going to be just like rookie players. They're going to have rookie mistakes and make those errors that you are accustomed to seeing from rookie players like Burakovsky or Kuznetsov or any rookie around the league. You know, I think now having a coaching staff that's been around, you're not going, oh, God, well, how's he going to figure out how to get out of this one? He's probably done it before. Trotz and his guys have probably done this before. And so you're sitting here going, well, you know what? This team is on a two-game losing streak. They're not scoring a lot of goals. But you know what? This coaching staff knows what they're doing, and they're going to get them out of it. This team has got too much talent on paper to not be able to put it on the ice. I mean, they were scoring goals like crazy with Adam Oates last season. The problem was they weren't stopping any of them. So I got to think that Trotz and his guys are going to be able to figure out how to turn the offense on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's going to be a big thing. I'm interested to see who he pairs up next. I really want to see what who he's going to go with.
He's going to go into the locker room and be like, "Have you played with you yet? No. Okay, you guys are on the line tonight."
Well, you guys just became best friends. Come on. I want to see what he does with Kuznetsov next, because Kuznetsov started off on the fourth line. Obviously, he did not impress in training camp. He didn't impress the new coach, Barry Trotz. But he comes out. He came out up against the Red Wings, was able to score a goal, and a great goal at that. You see him playing with Burakovsky a little bit. I'm interested to see if Kuznetsov moves off that fourth line or even third line and can get more playing time, because I think the kid is a very skilled player. You know, he came out with a lot of clout. Everybody was expecting him to make a big splash, and to see him on the fourth line,
it was weird.
Yeah, well, I guess it was weird seeing a guy with so much, you know, word of mouth saying how great this guy was, come in and play, you know, 6 minutes, 8 minutes of a game. So hopefully, due to the fact that he's scoring goals, or at least a goal, hopefully Barry Trotz awards that and lets him get a little bit more playing time.
The whole thing I like with Trotz is that he's not – it's. I know you're not a Skins fan, but it's almost the same thing as like what Jay Gruden is doing with the Skins. If you're not producing, he's not going to play you. You know, if you're not doing what needs to be done, you're not going to play. It's like you mentioned it before in the preseason where he asked Ovechkin, "Do you think you can score here in the shootout?" Ovechkin went, "I don't know." And he's like, "Well, I guess then you're not going to try." You know, he didn't give him an opportunity. He's not going to dick around. He's not going to give these ties a chance to be like, "Well, let's see what happens." You better go out there knowing what you're going to do. And I think it's going to take longer than just, you know, the first month of the season and the preseason for these guys to really start turning things around. But I think if you have to give this coaching staff enough time, and I think they're definitely going to, this is going to turn out to be a good thing. They still have some roster situations you need to figure out. You know, when Light comes back healthy, provided that ever happens, you know, it's got some interesting choices of who's going to go where. Do you keep O'Brien in the lineup, or can you even take him out of the lineup? I mean, he's got one goal, which is awesome. And, you know, you want to see him produce a little bit more offensively, but I think he's doing great defensively. You know, it's going to be interesting decisions to make. The defense is definitely playing better. When Orlov comes back, they have some trade chips, to move around if they want to acquire more offense. So they have choices to make, but I'm optimistic. I think that's the biggest thing from last season. Jeez, and from the last couple of seasons is that I'm optimistic about what Trotz and these guys can do.
Yeah, I think that's it's a good thing that they're getting kind of these bumps out of the way now, because this is it's the NHL. It is a long season, so we definitely have some time to fix some things. But man, you brought up Orlov. I have completely forgotten he was even a part of this team. As bad as that sounds, you haven't really.
Well, at least Schmidt's playing really well.
Yeah. You like I'm saying, you haven't really missed Orlov that much. The guys are playing very well, and last season you kept going, bring Orlov up, bring him up. He's going to make this team better. But they're doing great without him right now, which might not be a good thing for him, but still, it's having him waiting in the wings could be a great, great addition. And what do you do with a guy like Liam O'Brien when Brooks Light comes back? I mean, you got to think he'd be the guy to send down to Hershey, but you don't know. It could be a guy like Michael Latta instead, depending on how he's playing. But at the same time, you're going to break up that bromance that Tom Wilson and Michael Latta have, because they're around the same age. You'd think that you want, like, you know, camaraderie between these guys if they're going to be on the same line. So you're going to be breaking that up because they enjoy playing, you know, on the same line with each other. So, yeah, that's why I'm not a coach and I don't want to be a coach, and that's why you pick the job. And you know, it's a tough decision to make, so we'll see what happens. But I guess right now, you know, we're 1 month into the season. There's definite parts on offense you want to fix. I think the coaches know that. I think the fans know that. NBC Sports definitely knows that, because they brought that up a billion times last night. And according to them, the only reason this team is any better is because there's two former Penguins on the team. But
let's be honest. Those guys are playing very well.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, yes, the fact that they are former Penguins is true. But I don't think that's necessarily relevant. I think you could have gone bought out and bought a different guy with Orpik and Niskanen's skill set, and the team is going to be the same place they're in. It doesn't matter if they played for the Penguins in the past or not. But, you know, I mean, those guys are playing great. I think it pushed the team to make them play forward. I think the fact that we're not talking about Schmidt and Alzner necessarily is a good thing, because a defensive defenseman, you don't really notice a lot about them unless they've screwed up or they lay a big hit like Orpik. I think, you know, Green's been playing better. He's getting more comfortable. Carlson's been playing better.
Carlson's been friggin' great. I mean, he's like the assist machine. Well, him and Orpik,
they're giving up goals, though. I mean, they were on the ice for... Oh, I can't remember which goal it was, but they were on there. It was one of Abdelkader's. He had two in a row. It was definitely one of his. And they were on the ice for, and I was like, God, come on, guys. Stop letting Abdelkader score. His name's hard enough to spell as it is. You get him, now I got to write it down or something. You know, it's just the guy, you know, they're doing well. There's still those defensive miscues. That's the biggest thing right now, I think, between creating more offense and fixing those defensive miscues. It's nice you don't have to worry about the goaltending at the moment. And Holpe's playing well. Peters is playing well. They're all more, everybody's more comfortable than they were last season. And so there's still time. That's the biggest thing. It's not, you know, we're not in March or April going, oh, geez, are they going to, you know, what are they going to do? How are they going to make the playoffs? There's still plenty of time to fix the problems that they have with this team at the moment.
And the best thing about right now, this is a lot of fun to watch. I mean, last year, you're watching games going, oh, my God, what is this team
Any
doing?
Game on national television was a loss.
Yeah, absolutely. This one looked like a playoff game. It was fun to watch. I was on the edge of my seat. This is a game like last night. It's why I became a hockey fan. There was a lot of suspense to it. There was a lot of great play. And even though the Capitals did come out with a loss, it still can't take it away from Detroit or the Capitals. It was a great game by both sides. So, yeah, this is the type of game you show your friends who are on the fence about watching hockey. This is the type of game that's like, look at everything going on. This is so much fun. So that's the biggest thing, is that it's still fun to watch. So anything, did we miss anything in Caps world? Did we cover everything?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's nice to see Wilson back. I think he was doing some good things. He's got to stop looking to hit everybody first and start putting the puck in the back of the net. But like we said before, he's still sort of building up to that point. And, you know, I want to see the line settle down a little bit. I mean, you don't have a lot of teams that are always having crazy changes all the time. I know, I think it was Pete DeBoer in Jersey a couple of seasons ago. I think it was DeBoer. It was him or Jacques Lambert. Making new lineups every other week or something like that. And it worked out well for them, because I think Jersey went to the playoffs for maybe that run to almost win the Stanley Cup. But, you know, there's opportunities to still play well. So, I mean, these guys are hockey players. They know the system, or they should know the system by now, and so they're playing well. And so I think there's just the biggest thing right now is that, you know, get more offense, fix those little defensive miscues, because defense is playing just way better than last season. And this team definitely has places to go.
Absolutely. So we're going to go down on the farm, talk Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the puck? What the puck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, here we go. We are down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, I won't put you through it this week. I won't call you anything weird. What's going on with the Hershey Bears and the Stingrays?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Lehigh Valley and Wilkes-Barre Scranton, while South Carolina went 0-2 with losses to Greenville and Wheeling. So while things are going well in Hershey, South Carolina had a little bit of a rough week of the past, but hopefully they'll pick up and start doing a little bit better. The Bears play next on Halloween in Manchester, then Saturday, and is it Worcester? How you say it up there?
Worcester?
Like Worcester?
Worcester.
God, you people in New England don't make sense. And then they play again on Sunday back in Manchester. So can the Bears play a freaking home game at all this season? I think they've played two. It's freaking ridiculous. They've had three games on the road. Manchester, Worcester, and then they play back in Manchester, which, whatever. Anyways, the Stingrays, they're actually playing tonight in Greenville, and then they also play on Halloween at home against Greenville, and then again at home on Saturday against, you guessed it, Greenville. They have back-to-back-to-back games against the same freaking team. ECHL, folks. I don't get it. They also play again on Tuesday at home against Toledo. Now, in some Caps prospect news, Caleb Herbert was sent from Hershey to South Carolina. We'll see how long he stays down there. But it looks like Stan Gleave still staying at Hershey for now. We'll see how that goes. But that's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, very cool. So next we're going to go around the NHL. But before we do, here is a quick word from CapsHill.com.
What the Puck is available on CapsHill.com. Check out blogs and funny photos that have appeared on the NHL Network. That's CapsHill.com.
Here we go. We're going around the NHL. The big leagues always staying busy around the NHL. Gary Bettman's making money. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, first, hockey legend Gordie Howe is recovering after suffering a stroke last Sunday, so hopefully he gets better soon. Rangers defenseman John Moore has been suspended for 5 games for an illegal check to the head of Minnesota forward Erik Haula. Now, this was a bad and dumb hit. I don't know if you saw the clip.
Yeah, nasty.
It's on NHL.com. But he easily could have avoided it, or at least did a better job of hitting the body and not Howell's head.
Yeah.
I mean, they made the point that he did go shoulder to shoulder first, but the main point of contact throughout the entire hit was more shoulder to Howell's head, which is just not how you're supposed to do it, you gigantic dummy. Also suspended was San Jose forward John Scott. He was suspended for 2 games for leaving the bench to start a fight with Anaheim's Tim Jackman. So Scott is a dummy. Arizona has added former NHL player Brian Rolston to their pro scouting and analytics staff. Rolston played 17 years in the NHL, recording 342 goals and 767 points in 1,256 games with New Jersey, Colorado, Boston, Minnesota, and the New York Islanders. And finally, Edmonton goalie Ben Scrivens has started a program called Ben's Netminders, in which he will allow Edmonton area artists diagnosed with schizophrenia to design masks, which he will wear in games in an attempt to raise awareness. After wearing those masks in a game, they will then go up for auction. To quote the NHL.com article from Kevin Woodley, Scrivens wants more people to understand schizophrenia beyond the pop culture stereotypes. He wants people to know it is a brain disease that can be treated and people with it can recover. He wants those struggling with any mental illness to feel like it's okay to ask for help, and he wants more attention directed towards research and understanding. So I get Brent Scrivens, that's an awesome thing that he's doing. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, very cool. Always staying busy around the NHL. Lots going on. If you want to continue the conversation, that's what podcast is, man. It's a conversation. If you want to be a part of it, you can tweet to me at Brando Cash. That's where you can tell me if this show is great, if you hate the show, if you think we suck, if you enjoy what we talk about, whatever you want to tell us, man, let me know on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, you can complain to him as well. Coach Dan, where can people talk to you at?
Don't bother me. Leave me alone. You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can occasionally find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Sorry, go to BrandoCash.com right there on the interwebs. Get information about this show and all the other shows from Brando Cash Entertainment. You can also check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash, as well as the show on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. The show is also on Twitter. Check it out at WTP_podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. So make sure you like us and follow us as well. Now, we do this show completely for free. You guys download, stream, or just listen on many different devices, many different ways. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and now TuneIn. TuneIn is an app for your phone. It's free. It's just like Stitcher and the iTunes app. But the cool thing about this is you can check out our podcast after you get done listening to us. It has local radio stations, stations from all over the world that you can listen to as well. So if you like people talking about Caps hockey, or if you're listening to a local sports talk radio station, you can listen to that radio station on the TuneIn app. But if they're talking about the Ravens or the Redskins or the Terps or the Nationals or Orioles, and you're like, man, it's hockey season, let's talk about hockey, you just leave that station, stay in that app, and then you can go to What the Puck. That's how easy it is, and then you can listen to some Caps hockey. So that's really cool, man. Check it out. It's a free app. Tune in. called TuneIn Radio. It's really cool. So check that out. But we do this show absolutely for free. This is all for fun, man. We don't get paid for this. You guys don't pay for it. It's free to download. How cool is that? Not a lot in this life is free anymore. So we need your help, though, okay? My other show, The Call, the last 4 weeks has gotten over 1,000 hits each episode, which I am so thankful for, but I want What the Puck to do just as well, okay? So what you guys got to do, keep downloading, keep streaming, but you got to share the show and be social on the web with the show. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit that you are a Caps fan, you listen to What the Puck, and they should too. Also, let everyone know that that carries us, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Baltimore Sports Report, that you like What the Puck and that they should continue to carry us as well. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Until we talk again, we're going to be at our normal scheduled time next week because there is no Wednesday night rivalry. We are back to a normal schedule, at least for this week. Here are the dates coming up. The Capitals will be playing on Saturday, November 1st, in Florida up against the Lightning. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be aired locally on Comcast SportsNet Plus. Don't forget that plus sign. The Capitals are back in D.C. in the phone booth Sunday, November 2nd, up against the Arizona Coyotes. The Coyotes are coming to town. That game is at 7 o'clock at Comcast SportsNet. And then on Tuesday, November 4th, the Capitals stay in D.C. It's election day. The Calgary Flames, they don't got to worry about voting. They're Canadian. So they're going to come here down to D.C., 7 o'clock, Comcast SportsNet. So check out those three games. Big ones coming up. So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Don't forget to be social with the show and keep singing with us. I don't care who you're voting for, but come Tuesday, you might be saying this. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Burakovsky Wilson line would be wreaking havoc on the NFL or NFL. God damn.
You might. Wilson's a big dude. He might be able to take out some guys in the NFL. I mean, the Skins could use him right now on the freaking O-line. Or maybe even playing safety for once. No, in regards to Wilson.
In a very you guys listen. Up against the Philadelphia. They're not Phoenix anymore, are they? They're Arizona.
Arizona? I don't know what they're called.
Coyotes. All right, so.